Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Angel Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by my hammer to the sickle, Rich Stambolian.
Hammer time.
What's going on?
Nothing, man. How you doing? Little doozy bots today.
Little doozy bots today. I am a little doozy bots today.
That's
I had
all
a
right.
Very late evening last night.
We had fun, though.
We had fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I was
a lot of fun. We
what
we
time
did
you stay out until?
It wasn't that late.
Yeah.
I was fine.
5 o'clock.
5 a.m. No, I got home like probably 12:31.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is in the Uber back, I took a magic candy.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't kick in till about 6 a.m. this morning.
Why would you do that?
I was like, I want to sleep.
Rule of thumb, I don't know if you guys do THC gummies, but at the end of the night is the exact opposite of when you should do them. Like, as a rule.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, I can't ever sleep.
I have
a really bad sleeping problem. So
it's
need
all the
to.
The nightmares.
It's the daymares that I get during the day. I was in Uber and I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to sleep. So my friend made a little bit of them. So he gave it to me to try out. And I took it in the Uber and I was fine until I decided to go to bed at 1:30. Mm-hmm. And that's when it kicked. And I'm like, ooh, tonight's going to be spooky.
That's when like you see like the painting that's in front of you
just melt. Yeah. I don't know what else was in that because I'm still feeling it today. But we do have a lot of professional wrestling to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Obviously, Wednesday Night Wars, a neck and neck.
Is it even a war at this point?
They're neck and neck. They've determined that there's about 1.5 million people that watch every Wednesday between the two shows. And they're going back and forth.
Honestly, after this week's Dynamite, I feel like more people are going to tune into Dynamite now. This week's Dynamite was ridiculous awesome. It was so kinetic.
I thought, here's the thing, with which show did you like better?
Dynamite.
You liked it? Okay, but by far or?
Yeah. You know what? Like, there were a couple of really, really, really high moments in NXT, but overall, Dynamite was the better show. Also looked better. I tweeted out the other night too, and a lot of NXT stans like weren't really into it. But I tweeted out. Oh, are we freaking out right now? I tweeted out that the NXT production needs to get out of the Impact Zone or whatever it is, the Full Sail University, just because like I think not that the crowd is lukewarm, but it's the same crowd. Every week.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like in the long run, that's not the best thing in the world. Like, it's the Impact syndrome. It was cool when it was on the network and you got 1 hour a week and you're like, great, this is developmental. It's awesome. This is like their farm system. They're shooting 4 episodes in one day. So you get the same crowd for like 4 hours of wrestling. But now that it's live, I feel like the confines hurt it a little bit.
Yeah.
But did they want to invest the money to tour NXT to medium-sized arenas?
I think they have to at this point. They have to kind of move out of there because you're absolutely right. Even though the crowd, it's full, it's the same crowd. Does it affect you when you watch it as a fan?
I just get like anxious about them being in the same place the whole time, you know? It's kind of, I don't know, I have like that weird, like, just like when we used to watch Impact in the heyday of Impact, I guess, and you'd be like, oh, they're in the same place.
Yeah.
Like, do something different. I would love, like, I feel like one of my favorite weird things as a wrestling fan is when a show opens and the announcers go, we're here live from insert city here, and then they show the crowd and everybody's like super amped and anxious to be there, like the Dynamite crowd was on Wednesday. You know, that was a hot crowd from top to bottom.
But here's the issue with this. Okay. You want to break down Wednesday first and then we go into WWE stuff? I'm trying to get organized.
We should just talk about Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. Because it's so much more enjoyable. So
it's way, here's the thing. Isn't that weird?
I watched both shows.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of problems with AEW this week.
Okay.
I'll begin and you guys tell me. By the way, we got another $5 donation.
Thanks.
Take a look.
Thanks, Faustino.
Faustino, $5.
I'm sorry that I said your name was made up.
Now we know it's real.
It's a great
I hope
name.
You're happy. So, for AEW, what's up with three of the same weird cult factions in AEW now?
The barber and the blade, the butcher,
the butcher
and the blade,
and the blade,
the dark,
the dark order,
the dark dudes,
the dark dudes,
and
Brandy's thing.
Okay, I like Brandy's thing. It was cool. Like the I forgot what they were. But I like Brandy's.
But
thing.
I mean, three of the same faction, essentially.
I think. All right.
Spooky cult people.
So the Dark Order are supposed to be spooky cult people.
Yeah.
Right. The Butcher and the Blade are supposed to be like Jack the Ripper guys.
And the Bunny.
They're supposed to be like steampunky Victorian era, like weirdies, okay. Right? And then the Brandy thing is that's its own unique
Ooh,
thing.
What if Marty Scurll is the leader of the Butcher and the Blade?
I would love that. That would be amazing.
When he comes out with his black
with the plague masks.
Yeah.
That would be a great setup for him.
Yeah.
If they kept talking. But, you know, that would overshadow the Bunny. Because I feel like the Bunny is like
the,
leader of the faction, right?
Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it's three of the same.
And the villain. That would be amazing.
And the villain. Yeah, the Butcher and the Blade and the villain. And the Bunny.
How did you like Jericho's list?
I thought it was great that he called AJ Styles by his real name.
Alan Jones.
Yeah, Alan Jones. I thought that was really funny. It was an homage, obviously, to his the 1,000 holds list that he had in WCW about 20-something years ago.
And the list of Jericho.
I thought, listen, I think everything he's doing is great. There was something off, though. I feel like they have such a gap now between their next pay-per-view and today.
Okay.
Where they're having some booking issues.
They're also taking a week off for the holidays, I think.
For Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Christmas break they have. Which I'm cool with that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I right now, December's a weird month, and notoriously in wrestling, it's always a dead month.
Yeah.
We have TLC pay-per-view and whatever that, you know, we do with that, but.
I read a thing today about how the reason why they haven't announced the TLC matches yet or anything leading up to it is they're trying to spike network subscriptions.
By doing what?
By not talking about the matches.
And just let's see who's going to be there.
Like, let's see what happens. Yeah.
They released a free tier yesterday that nobody spoke
Very
about.
Very quietly.
Yeah. So that's obviously going to introduce the tiered plan, which I'm hopeful for because I would love to see more wrestling on there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we obviously have so much time in our lives to watch more live wrestling. But I think that with the way that the Raw product has been...
Mm-hmm.
Recently, and the way SmackDown is going, they're gonna have to make a major shift as well on that side.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, 2014 they peaked, these guys. They had a great thing going in 2014, 2015. Yeah. 2011 to about 2014 probably was the best of this decade because this decade is closing out.
Mm-hmm.
What would you okay? Here's a question for you: this decade, what was the most memorable and what was the most important moment in wrestling?
All In.
All In was probably both.
Straight up. All In.
Okay.
The first All In. Second one was great, but that first All In showed exactly what could happen.
Okay.
That is the honestly, that's the second most important thing. The most important thing to happen in this decade, and call me a mark, Bullet Club.
Most important thing to happen in you know what? There is an argument for that 130%.
100%.
You know what it did? You know what the Bullet Club brought?
What?
The teenage viewership that found it cool, and it was the NWO effect, and a lot of disenfranchised 35-year-olds.
Yes.
That were like, oh, what is this thing? And they started watching Japanese. Even if 500,000 people did it, you know, it's still amazing.
Also, are you entering a dimensional portal right now? Are you so high that you're just traveling between dimensions? Andrew's not high. He doesn't do drugs.
None. I don't know what's happened today. So it's a very loose show.
But look at this.
Ahead.
Okay. So like, and I'm gonna sound like a mark because I feel like it's 6 years after the fact with Bullet Club, right? 2013. So you got Devitt out of it. You got Balor, right?
Yeah.
Huge star, right?
Yeah.
B, you got AJ Styles with a resurgence of his wrestling career.
Perfect. Yeah.
C, you got the Young Bucks out of it, becoming fan favorites.
Yep.
D, you got Kenny Omega coming out of it, becoming a fan favorite.
Oh, and as far as, you know what? That is a underrated argument I think a lot of people are not going to make, because you're starting to see it now. Listen, we finished the decade. I would say, I'm not, no particular order. Mm-hmm. Agree with you 100%. Right. Bullet Club, for sure. All Out, mm-hmm. All In. That was a huge moment.
Also, tied with the Bullet Club stuff, Cody leaving WWE.
Cody leaving
joining
WWE.
These guys.
That may be the big story when we look back at a monumental moment. Uh-huh. That may be the one that we look back in 10 years from today.
And be like, yo, this is where it started, right? You did not have creative for Stardust, the son of Dusty Rhodes, and you let this go through your fingers. It makes you a little disillusioned in WWE. And most people are, I think, at this point. They do some stuff that's great, but then they do some stuff that's like, why'd you do that, you know? And even Seth Rollins, I think, on the last Corey. Have you listened to the Corey Graves podcast?
Bits and pieces.
It's fun. It's good. Yeah. He's got a good voice. But even, I think even Rollins was like, yeah, I didn't like that Hell in a Cell match. I didn't like the red lights. You know?
I can't imagine anybody. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine anybody liking it. Okay. So let me give you my list.
Yeah. Go.
The CM Punk pipe bomb.
Boom.
Okay. And the reason why I think it's important is not because of what it did as far as storyline went, but what it did was bring back a lot of people.
Okay.
CM Punk, that began the boom of the decade.
Okay. I'll agree with that.
That began, and then that went into the Daniel Bryan thing in 2014.
So the Pipebomb, Yes Movement.
Pipebomb, Yes Movement, Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
Cody leaving, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Do you count the Shield in there at all?
I think the Shield was...
Because those dudes were bred to be the top,
and it happened.
It worked out.
Yeah,
you know.
And it happened.
It worked out very well for these guys.
I think the story for them is still, we're going to see what happens with that. I think looking back 10 years from today and talking about it today as the decade is ending, very different. But the Bullet Club really led that New Japan boom.
And the ROH boom.
ROH boom for sure, which led into All In, which led into AEW. So I think that could become the big story, but I definitely still think the CM Punk pipe bomb would have a major place to begin all of this.
It does. I saw somebody, we got tweeted today about how Austin should be in the top 10 of wrestlers of all time, which is true.
In what way? Just character.
Just top 10, you know,
Of course.
Biggest draw, character. His run on top was maybe 3 years at most, and he had a hell of a 3 years on top, right? Cena's been on top for like 20 years.
Cena's been on top since 2004.
Incomparable to Austin's, like, the pop that Austin gets, you know?
Yeah.
I believe John, one of our fans, was like, he said, Brett, Austin, and Punk are the three guys that pave the way for a lot of modern wrestling.
Brett, Austin, and Punk.
Right.
Modern wrestling.
Work rate, mic skills, delivering on character, and being just an all-around pro wrestler.
That is interesting.
Thank you.
I had to boom your audio a little bit.
Boom.
Do you like it a little bit better?
I love it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Turning myself on.
Yeah. I Brett has for modern wrestling, I would say Benoit. I would say Brett. I would say Eddie.
Yeah.
Ray.
Yep.
Right? If you watch today's style of what's happening in professional wrestling, it's those guys.
Yeah.
Amazing how those guys are giants by today's standard, huh?
Mm-hmm. Rey Mysterio is very wide.
Very wide.
Rey Mysterio looks like he's bigger than Ricochet in a weird way.
In a weird way.
But let's talk about it
because I don't know what our schedule is going to be in the coming weeks. Obviously, with the holiday season, it gets a little nutty. By the way, guys,
when is Christmas?
Christmas is in 3 weeks, I believe. Or 4 weeks. What is it? What day is it?
Today's the 6th.
Yeah.
So
where are we?
About 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
So are we going to do a show the day after Christmas? Is it 26th?
Yeah, we could do that.
Or do you want to do a Tuesday Christmas Eve show?
Well, let's do it. No, because I get really belligerent on Christmas Eve. No, and we host Christmas Eve. So we'll do something on Thursday. I think it's an important thing to kind of look back and remember a lot of those important moments. I think Cody leaving was probably the biggest non-story that turned into a huge monumental moment.
Well, also, like, NXT scooping up your internet darlings, I think that should be in there, too.
That's a huge story.
You know, NXT. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Neville, Finn Balor, and Kenta. Like, that's a huge... Nakamura.
Okay, here's a question. From the 2000s.
Joe? Yeah.
So if we went into the 2000s, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking from 2000 to 2009. Mm-hmm. What were your moments? Obviously, the biggest story would have been, two stories would have been. One, WCW closing.
Yeah.
In 2001, which we're almost there. It's crazy. It's almost 20 years ago.
I can't even remember.
Chris Benoit's murder suicide.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Right? As far as a mainstream crossover.
Brock Lesnar.
Brock was a big story, but mm-hmm. I think WCW closing and seeing what the future of wrestling becomes was huge.
Yeah.
What do you think was the biggest story of the 2000s?
Looking
back almost 20 years later.
Austin retiring, maybe? Because like the 2000s, that early 2000s era of WWE was awesome.
Big difference from like 2002 or 3 to 2009. They made a lot of changes to the company by then.
That's when the company went public, right?
It went public in 2000,
and
I believe, late 99.
And it went from TV-14 to TV-PG?
No, PG didn't happen until 2010, 2009,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, man. Like, I can't remember a lot of the 2000s for as far as wrestling goes. Not because of anything else, but like, I think the Eddie stuff was great. For some reason, JBL sticks out in my head of JBL being like, oh, they turned JBL into like the number one heel.
No, but I'm saying like huge. If you were to right now, two things that were huge in that era.
Hogan
returning to WWE. Yeah.
Hogan returning, like, you know, NWO returning to WWE.
The invasion.
Oh, my God. The invasion.
I would say the closure of WCW.
Yeah, closure of WCW. But that was what, 2001?
2001. March 2001.
And March just, 23rd. Like, having an insane roster after that. They really did. They really had, like, a really bonkers roster after that.
You know what? It's interesting. You talk about, like, these. But there are all these little things. Like, here's a great thing. ROH starting.
Yeah.
In the 2000s. The popularity, the rise of independent wrestling.
CZW.
And the change. The change. Actually, indie wrestling, I have to tell you, indie wrestling is in its boom period now.
Yes. 100%.
The fact that there's such good wrestling out there, mm-hmm. and you don't have to go to a WWE product or a mainstream product.
Exactly.
You can watch anything. You know, right now, think about how many shows we have on TV. NXT,
oh my God.
AEW, MLW, Raw,
NWA.
SmackDown. NWA, Ring of Honor, and Impact. We got 8 wrestling shows. Capital Wrestling, we're on TV.
We had Lucha Underground for a little bit. And you have New Japan. You have the other Japanese company, Noah,
the Boomin' Noah.
You have DDT.
DDT.
You have Dragon Gate.
A lot of wrestling.
NXT UK. Progress.
Evolve.
Beyond. There's shit ton of wrestling out
ICW.
There. Oh, my God.
Championship Wrestling from Florida.
Adam Yedlin in the chat writes, Hogan in Saudi Arabia is the most moment in wrestling history. Everyone knows that.
I think there's a lot of these moments that we could talk about, but I think there are way more of these memorable, mm-hmm. high-impact moments in this decade,
yes,
than there were in the 2000s.
I agree 100%. Undertaker getting beaten by Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar returning, destroying everybody. Weird politics, I feel, like weird ends to the business that we didn't get before, where, like, I think this is also the last 10 years is the era of the super smark, you know, like the dudes who think they know everything.
Yeah.
Not us, of course, because we do know everything. Billy Corgan buying the NWA with his Tonight Money.
His pumpkin money.
Mm-hmm. This guy used his pumpkin money.
Can't believe this guy. He would go around Halloween just breaking everyone's pumpkin, smashing them, and now he has a whole career. He's a wrestling promoter. Give me the most underrated moment you could think of.
Kid Rock doing Undertaker's theme song.
In this decade.
Underrated.
And I want the chat to play with this also.
Honestly, like the rise of Okada?
Underrated.
Yeah.
Historic, could possibly be the greatest pro wrestler ever.
Greatest champion of all time.
Of all
possibly,
time.
You know?
That is an underrated story, yes.
Not the most, but like he has that presence about him, you know, where you're like, this is the greatest wrestler of all time.
It's interesting because you watch his wrestling and you would say, my God, everything he does is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a bad Okada match.
Yeah.
ever. And that's quite an accomplishment to achieve.
Okada is so good that the crowd popped because he went back to wearing shorts.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how beloved this guy is.
I think that's interesting. That's a good pick. Underrated mm-hmm. pick.
Rise of Okada, the slow burn of Kenny Omega.
But
they did a good job in the last couple of years packaging his entire career with that Golden Lover story.
I didn't care for it.
Really?
Yeah. I think it took away from him.
I enjoyed
as
it.
A top guy.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Listen, as a wrestling fan, it was fun.
Definitely different direction.
Yeah.
You know? But Harold Mage did say that they're open to a relationship with AEW.
Yeah, I think they're realizing that they kind of need those guys.
Do they need them? I think they need the exposure in the U.S. Imagine that.
Well, they're expanding. Here's another one. Broken Matt Hardy. Interesting.
Yes. That's a good one.
Fun gimmick. How about the Rise of Podcast, wrestling podcast? I think that's absolutely true.
It's a little too many right now.
There's way too many. Way too many wrestling podcasts.
Just listen to us. And maybe talk to Jericho.
Jericho, the end of the closing the decade with Chris Jericho as AEW, the face, the guy. I'm very happy they put the title on him.
He's the GOAT.
I think a lot of people were skeptical of putting the title on a near 50-year-old to start your promotion. But you know what? It is historic that in wrestling, you give the title to the guy with the most notoriety.
Yes.
And there's nobody at that level. Now, to kind of go back to, women's wrestling. That's another underrated story.
The women's revolution.
Yeah, the change in women's pro wrestling.
That's very interesting. I'd like to touch on that for a minute. Because if you look in the last 5 years, like the women who are wrestling are completely off the wall amazing. You know, like your top ladies right now.
Yeah, more good than bad, which is rarely happened.
Charlotte, Asuka, Kairi Sane, like Io Shirai, like all the Japanese gets. In WWE, Rhea Ripley, Toni Storm, like Sasha Banks, Bayley, like the list is very, very long, you know? And like that era of the diva is kind of over, you know? I mean, there are definitely characters like Lana is the perfect example of they don't need a roster of quote unquote divas if you have your one Lana, right?
Yeah.
Because she fits that bill perfectly.
And she doesn't need to wrestle.
Doesn't need to do anything. On the other side of it, you have like a Tessa Blanchard, you know, or like a Jordan Grace, all the ladies in AEW, all the ladies in Stardom. It's pretty nuts, you know?
I'm trying to think what else we have here.
Orange Cassidy. The rise of comedy wrestling.
I'm not a fan of him.
You're ridiculous.
I'm not. I get it, but I'm not a huge fan.
Why?
I don't know. It's nothing.
You don't have a sense of humor?
Yeah, I don't. I hate comedy. I hate laughter.
Do you not like Orange Cassidy because he reminds you of you?
He reminds me of me.
Uh-huh.
Do I just shrug my shoulders and kick people in the shin?
Kind of
do.
You do a lot of shoulder shrugging. But like this and then like this.
A little
bounce.
I think we are going into a very interesting decade right now.
Do you like Marco Stunt?
Hate him.
Do you like
Luchasaurus? Actually, I do like Marco Stunt. I love Jungle Boy. I do really like Luchasaurus.
I couldn't stop laughing when Jericho called Jungle Boy a piece of shit.
Oh my god! Can we appreciate how calling people saying shit now is totally okay on every? They do it on WWE too.
Anybody calling anybody a piece of shit to their face, I think I don't know why, but I just think it's hysterical.
Just looking at someone saying "you piece of shit," hysterical
with a straight face.
Yeah,
like listen, you piece of shit.
Yeah,
like damn. I can't call it a piece of shit. Moxley leaving.
That's going to be a big story, though.
That's a good slow burn one. Because
that is, yeah. Pac too. Same with Pac.
I think more Mox.
Moxley more, but I put them in the same category.
He was the dude who left the company right and did that video package. And you're like, yo, this dude's in the G1 now. What? Really good stuff, man. Yeah. It's been a great 2 years for wrestling. And I'll throw in some WWE stuff in there, too. There have been high points, but
I think overall, I think that's the story of WWE has been this for this decade.
Okay.
The wrestling from 2010 to today is so much better.
Yeah.
I really can't say they have guys on that roster that are not good workers.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Right?
You look at that top tier of athleticism, and that roster before maybe was five guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have, let's go into 2000s. Who were your top workers? Eddie, Jericho,
Benoit,
HBK,
Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko. Well, let's
Triple
see.
H.
Triple H. Let's put Hunter. So I got five.
Taker,
top worker.
Kane,
top
always
worker.
Had good
always
stuff.
A top guy. Yeah, top worker.
The Hardys when they were around.
Hardys. You know, but
Edge and Christian.
Christian for sure. Cena, but those were your top guys.
Kurt Angle,
top guys. But now you look top workers. AJ Styles.
Everybody.
The whole roster, they're great workers.
Solid, good journey. Like, we have a good, WWE has a good journeyman's roster.
How about the Miz's endurance over the last decade?
Knock on wood for that guy.
And he's kind of likable now.
He's very likable now. And the fact that this dude, knock on wood, has never gotten hurt. And he's just always on TV and always on fire. I think that's completely amazing.
So this is interesting. I started watching wrestling in my 30s because of Cody and the Bullet Club. That's actually amazing.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
It's good stuff. That stuff was just great storytelling. What I'm going to give you not a prediction, but a weird cyclical wrestling thing.
Okay.
So in 10 or 12 years from now, you could the 2001 stuff could happen again in 2030. Or 2031, where Triple H assumes control of the company.
Yeah, and then buys
AEW, MLW, everything fizzles, and then you have a WWE roster that is full of all these dudes.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Listen, CM Punk's coming back in 2020. I might do a little something.
You think that's going to be a thing?
I think I would take that bet.
Yeah.
I would take that bet.
6 years later, this guy
that he's coming back
WrestleMania,
and he finally gets a headline WrestleMania, and it would be against Triple H.
I think it would be.
I think we're going to come full circle. I'm telling you right now, we're going to come full freaking circle, and he's going to have that match with Hunter, and he's going to turn around and think to himself, "Why did I ever leave? I'm an asshole."
And Hunter legitimately hits him with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? I don't. Who knows what CM Punk's going to be capable of doing in the ring? 6 years later, he hasn't wrestled. And the quality of wrestling has gone so far beyond what he was doing. So far beyond.
Agree to disagree.
He was great because he was really different at the time. Mm-hmm. Not because he was the most athletic guy. He was really different.
Yeah.
And now you have guys. I mean, listen, he came up in the era where they were pushing really bizarre mid-level young guys.
Yeah.
Mordecai. I mean, who was the Dracul?
Kevin Thorne.
Okay. You had Kevin Thorne, Ezekiel Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
You had those guys.
Luther Reigns.
No, I mean, he came out after Luther Reigns. But my point.
His
best matches were with guys like Morrison, which, by the way, John Morrison coming back.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It
does nothing for you,
huh? Nothing for me.
But again, another guy from a different era that really stood out. That will be another good worker on the roster.
Does nothing for me. Put him in NXT. That'll do something for me.
I don't know what you do with him. You know what? Tell me right now who's going to feud with. You know the answer.
Dolph Ziggler.
Yep. There you go.
If you put Morrison and Ziggler on NXT and Bobby Roode back on NXT, I'd be happy with that.
I'm willing to bet that that's the first feud. I mean, now, obviously, that would be it. But he does the same for me that The Miz does. Dolph does. Mm.
There's nothing.
How would you feel about Dolph in AEW?
Wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care,
to
huh?
be honestly, like, I, it's just, there's, it's not a knock on his work rate or talent. It's just there's something about him that has always done absolutely nothing for me. Dolph, Sheamus, John Morrison, nothing. There's nothing there for me.
That again. John Morrison, Ziggler,
Sheamus.
Sheamus.
And you know, I'll give you a good example. For years, I did not give a crap about Lance Archer.
At all.
Right?
And then all of a sudden.
Until this year's G1, I was like, yo, he did a little something. Whatever he did different, it's working. And now I like him.
Huh.
I don't get that with, I would lump him in with those guys, you know? Big dude.
Yeah.
Should like him. Don't care for him. But now I do. You know,
I think that CM Punk will have a little bit of difficulty. He's going to realize that he doesn't stand out as much coming back.
I think he would, man. I think personality is a big part of it. You know?
Yeah, I'm saying work rate. I'm saying in ring. Okay. I'm saying in ring. I think he's going to have to retrain himself.
Well, Mysterio did a good job of still being Rey Mysterio, but taking a lot less risks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But but the thing about Mysterio was that he was 20 years ahead.
Right.
Always. This guy was 2.5 decades ahead of the time that he wrestled. In 1996, watching him and Eddie in a match, they were so far ahead of the era that they were in. And I think that was the thing for CM Punk. He was really ahead for its time, but there's about 500 CM Punks out there now.
That is true. He influenced a couple of generations of wrestling. The other thing with Mysterio is that, like, here's the other thing with veterans, and you saw this on the opening AEW match with Dustin, right? Veterans, if you're wrestling a veteran, you sell your ass off. So now, whenever Rey's in the ring, anything he does, his opponent will sell like nobody's business, which makes it, he doesn't have to do all the crazy flips anymore, you know, because maybe he's injury prone or whatever. But the fact that like everybody else is elevating him to make him look like the athletic stud he was 20 years ago is pretty excellent. Like those matches Rey had with Andrade.
Oh, great.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable.
How do you feel about Andrade?
I really like him. I would really like to see a real strong push with him and Drew.
Okay.
That's what I want to see in 2020.
Drew's great. I like Drew.
Here's a question for you. Most influential wrestler on other wrestlers in this decade, this era?
AJ Styles.
AJ has the most influence as far as style goes.
AJ is like, he seems to me like the consummate professional, smoothest dude in the ring. I think.
And I open that up for the chat also. I'm curious what you guys think.
I think the next inspirational dude or current inspirational dude is 100% Kenny Omega.
Kenny is going to be the next one. I think that's actually a really good one. You're on fire today.
Thank you. I'm literally on fire.
I would say Benoit and Eddie.
Okay.
A lot of influence.
Yes.
This generation I came up.
Rey.
Rey for sure. 100%. Interesting how John Cena is not an influence. Or
I think he is.
HBK influenced that whole RVD, Chris Jericho. And then even after that, Adam Cole.
The Bucks.
There's a lot of HBK influence too.
But you know what? It's different. It's different now, I think, than it was before. Where now you have guys like the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. And even like, let's say like Kevin Steen or Generico, right? Heavy HBK influences on these guys, right?
Tremendous.
But it's the fact that these guys are great friggin' workers that makes it even better.
Better, yeah.
As opposed to, like...
How many bad HBK?
How many Jeff Hardy clones have we seen on indie wrestling?
Oh, my God.
Forever.
Oh, my God. You're talking... And you know how long that Jeff Hardy clone has existed? It still exists, by the way. You're going from 1999 to about 2014.
Right. And they weren't that great. They just did Jeff Hardy moves. Same thing with the RVD, I think. Like
A lot of
RVD clones who tried to be RVD. I think that was the era of indie wrestling where these dudes tried to be these guys instead of working their stuff in with their own stuff.
I think they're... You want to talk about lack of appreciation. RVD will, in my eye, underrated in every capability because this guy was 240 pounds.
Yeah.
6 foot, 240. He was so dense, this guy.
Big dude.
Yeah. Big. He was not a high flyer.
Thick boy.
And he was a thick boy.
Yeah.
Like Furnace and LaFon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Underrated tag team. Furnace and LaFon. I'm going to give you that. The Spirit Squad. That you want to talk about bad heat.
I got a good influence thing for you.
Give me one.
Keith Lee.
Okay.
You can definitely see some of The Rock.
You know what? Also in Ricochet. Right? That was his whole gimmick. He would do the eyebrow and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a Rock clone. He was a mini Rock clone.
I would love to see The Rock do like a 450.
Oh, my God.
Like,
do you think he can?
No.
Do you think his limbs would just come off?
I think he could do one.
He's just sewn?
But I think he could do one, but he would definitely land on the guy knees first. Like, he would destroy the other person.
97, 98, RVD was extremely ahead of his time. He's about, again, another guy that was a decade and a half ahead of everybody.
Who's ahead of their time now?
That's a great question. Kenny Omega for sure. I think Kenny
Ibushi
for sure.
Naito,
I would have. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll throw him in
those
there.
Guys.
Jay White.
I don't know.
27, dude.
I'm just. I know. No. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Who's a guy doing a style now that will be adapted. There will be. I think the Kenny Omega style will be the one.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Jericho. I think
Jericho's evolved with everything.
It's funny because like everybody at one point wanted to be Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes. But the John Cena thing is funny because you never see like
another guy that wants to be him.
Yeah, you never see like guys who want to be John Cena or like guys who are like, "Yo, I'm the next Hogan."
I would love to see a next Hogan, but I don't know if there's a place in this era.
Just like a big 8 foot tall dude with mad personality who just points at people. There's a couple of moves.
But, you know, you could see the influence. Like, you look at Moxley, and you're like, oh, Terry Funk, you know?
Right.
You could see it. You could see there's a transition. You look at Kenny Omega. Who comes to mind? Nobody.
Right.
I can't say that I see a certain style or guy that comes to mind. You look at, you know, like you brought up HBK.
Yeah.
You look at a lot of these guys, you're like, oh, you can see HBK's the influence. Mm-hmm. Or you look at so-and-so and you say, oh, Rey Mysterio is the influence.
Yeah.
You look at Kenny Omega, I would say that he's a thing of his own. And now you're going to start getting a lot of those Kenny Omega clones.
Well, because he's also not just influenced by wrestling. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, this dude's influenced by, like, video games and anime and things like that.
Yeah,
right?
So it transitions.
So it's like a transcendent aspect to it. I think as far as like personality and work rate goes, I think the New Day will be a big influence.
I think in the long run, I think the story of the New Day will be a really important story.
Absolutely.
Later on that we're going to tell. That's
a good moment. Kofi winning.
Daniel Bryan winning, huge moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. Mm-hmm. I predict we're going to see the rise of the big man again.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I think the 2020s are going to bring in the big jacked up dudes.
Genetics are back.
I think we're going to get a whole bunch.
Well, see, I think that's a thing with very old school wrestling is that these guys were all fans. You're either a fan or you were recruited and you worked out at a gym with these other guys, right?
You were a bouncer at a strip club.
Right.
You were working out at the gym. Like, you were a bodybuilder.
Hogan was a fan.
Or a football player.
Right. Hogan was a fan, right? Yeah. And then he was like, I'm going to go train. They broke my leg. I didn't stop. I came back, blah, blah, blah. This dude's 6'8", blonde hair.
6'8". He looks the skin of a hot dog, the hair of a Chinese lady.
Beach body. The guy looked tremendous. Of course he was going to get scooped up. And then by that process, you have like, the Big Show was working as what, like a bouncer somewhere?
He was another security guard, yeah.
And then
Kevin Nash,
same thing.
Bouncer.
Like, just like that era of, oh, I've seen wrestling on TV. I worked out at a gym with this guy, and he told me to come for a tryout, and I fell in love with it. That era is very interesting, and I think it's missing now because genetically, I think people are as big as that anymore.
Dominik Dijakovic would be a big man, right, that they have right now?
But he's not like a
I'm telling you right now, we're gonna get the rise of the buff big man.
Yeah.
We're gonna get the bodybuilders back.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're gonna get those.
The bodybuilders who can work very well.
Well, look at what's his name? Cage.
Okay.
He's a gigantic bodybuilder.
I feel like he's secretly like 5'9".
You think so? It might be.
Dijakovic is great, but again, like he's one of those big men that's like, he's more lithe, right? Cody Hall would have been
a good big man.
Great big man.
He had issues.
Yeah. You know? Lance Archer, again, like, same thing. Where it's kind of like,
we got used to, but I think right now there's a disconnect. When you see a big man in the ring with them, they don't know. It's a little off-putting because you're so used to everybody kind of being like the same 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", top, 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not too many Randy Ortons walking around at 6'5" in that company.
Right. I think also it's a personality thing that...
Do you think people were just shrinking?
I think genetically we're all just shrinking.
We're just all...
I think the average person is probably like 5'8", 5'7", maybe.
5'8".
But these dudes... Like, back in the day, like, your old school wrestlers, like, the big dudes all had, like, these gigantic personalities, right? Which I don't think you have now. That's the thing. Like, you can have a personality.
But they're not cartoons.
But they're not, like, look at a guy like Bruiser Brody, you know?
Cartoon.
Like, yeah, cartoon, but, like, he turned it on, and that was his thing.
Yeah.
Stan Hansen, giant person, didn't have to do anything apart from beat people
nothing.
Up, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the charm about it. Vader, same thing. Big dude, big personality. Hogan, Hall, Nash. Huge, ridiculous personality.
And you never, listen, Scott Hall was gigantic and you had no idea when he was standing next to Kevin Nash.
Exactly.
I think that's something that's interesting here. Listen, I'm okay with it, but I think we're going to see the rise of the big man again in 2020. I think the style has to change.
Okay.
And everybody should not be doing a freaking flip.
You think it should go back to more ground-based?
No, not more ground wrestling. But you know what's interesting? Like, I'll give an example. Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Great.
Seth Rollins is a prime example of the hybrid style that exists currently. Everybody's doing that hybrid style now. There's no difference. Everybody's doing a plancha. Everybody will go to the top rope.
Everybody's doing suicide dives. Top rope to the outside.
Yeah, top rope to the outside. Okay.
Buckle bombs. Buckle bombs. Some kind of senton.
Some type of senton, yeah.
And a santon. That's for the holidays.
Santa. Everybody's Santa. A lot of suicide dives.
There's a lot of suicide dives. There's a good amount of topes.
But you know what the suicide dive now is, right?
Yeah.
That's a commercial break spot.
Yeah.
You go, you run to the outside, and then there you go. Suicide dive. We'll be right back after this.
Suicide dive landing on your feet. Everybody does that.
I hate that. I hate the suicide dive landing on your feet. That's what you're doing.
I think everybody, like a lot of people do Ranas.
Okay.
Even John Cena did a Rana.
The super kick.
Super kick. I'm fine. I'm fine with the super
kick. Too many super kicks.
I'm fine with that.
I want the heart punch to be a finish now.
Ooh.
Can we go back to just having like, and he slapped him. There he goes. The big mongoose.
Do you want Drew Gulak to be the king of everything?
I want Drew Gulak to be the king of everything. And I also want animal names. I want the mongoose. I want the sheep.
The wolf.
Claw biter.
Do you consider Corbin part of the big man era?
Yeah, of course. He's a big guy.
Roman, Drew, Corbin.
But you know what's funny? Roman is like, he's big, but you don't know it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you look at Drew. Well, here's the thing. Ted DiBiase. How tall was Ted DiBiase? 6 feet?
Probably. Maybe a little taller.
Let's see.
Hogan didn't make, like, we always go
6'3". Ted DiBiase was 6'3", 235 pounds, 245.
Jake also?
Jake was a tall guy. These guys were all 6'3". You would not have known. Zero.
Hunter. Hunter's a big dude.
Hunter's gigantic.
Yeah.
He's going to be a big story this decade.
Absolutely.
You know, he's going to tell, I think this is going to be the decade he kind of becomes, listen, this is the last decade. Vince may not be in charge after this decade.
The 20s.
Maybe he will most likely step down.
Oh, you never know, man. He might hold.
He's 70, 73?
He might be that carny promoter that hangs
84
on.
Years old in another 10 years.
I could see it.
74 years old. He's going to be 84.
Reportedly, if the guy takes care of himself as much as he has done his whole life, he could probably still do this until he's 90.
I'm looking at a picture of Vince McMahon with no shirt on, and he is impressive.
There you go. See? Longevity.
Jesus Christ.
Triple H is the guy to take
so
over.
So vascular.
This is a dynasty. So you go from Vince Sr. to Vince to Triple H and his family. Maybe a little Shane in there. I don't know.
I find this is going to be, it's a transition year, transition decade.
This
for
is like
the
old money.
Listen, we talk about this. 84 was a pivotal part. 83 was a pivotal part in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon gaining control of the company changed all of wrestling. We may see that again when Vince steps down and Hunter's kind of running the show.
You know, what's kind of interesting is that, you know, in the 90s, we got basically the battle of the billionaires between Ted Turner and Vince, right? And Ted saying, I want to get into the wrestling business, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's a lot of the mental acumen between Vince and the Khan family, right? If you think about it.
They're
on like that bigger scale.
They're both billionaires.
You know?
The kids are running the business.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
It is interesting. I do think this is going to be the I cannot imagine Vince at 84 years old still running the show.
I can.
I think he'll probably be a chairman. He'll run, you know, day-to-day business. But I don't think at 84 he will be running creative.
I think it would be more black and white at that point.
On who's, yeah.
Where he would just be like, yes, nope, nope, nope. AJ Styles goes over.
You know, you think about the Empire. There's nobody in that. That's going to be a huge story. Mm. The how wrestling has kind of become what it is.
In what regard?
You have about you know, 2.5 million people on Friday that watch. Mm-hmm. You got another 2 million people on a Monday. You got another 1 million mm-hmm. for NXT
yeah.
that they get, you know, 800,000. I'm rounding it up. By the way, NXT lost in the ratings this week
mm-hmm.
after winning for 2 weeks. It went back. The momentum shifted by 9,000 viewers.
I think it was that Dustin match.
It could have been. Dude, that Dustin match was really good.
All right. So let me ask you something. When was the last time you saw a match on Raw or SmackDown and said, oof, I got to go back and watch that?
Again. For a while.
Right?
It's been a while.
With AEW, I'm constantly finding myself being like, ooh, I'm glad I DVR'd it. Let me go back and watch this.
Okay. Know? So one thing I have a big problem with AEW. TNT does not do a good job at putting that up. Quick enough.
Yeah.
They wait like 3-4 days, mm-hmm. which sucks because I forget to DVR it every time and mm-hmm. it becomes a whole thing on how to get it.
Just set it.
I know. I gotta set it. But
what do you got? Time Warner?
No, I have a YouTube TV.
I'm such a nerd that I program my DVR for my phone
manually.
And Time Warner? I'm just like, yes.
What do you got? Time Warner Cable?
What do you got? Time Warner Cable?
RCA?
It's not even Time Warner anymore. It's Spectrum.
You know what's interesting? Here's the thing. AEW does a bad job at adding too much stipulation to every match, and WWE does no stipulation in matches.
In what regard?
There's nothing ever on the line for me to watch Raw.
Right.
What's on the line here? Why are we fighting? I always say, why are we fighting other than just being terrible people?
Yeah.
You got to give us a reason. Okay, fine. Look at the one that they're doing that for. It's Bobby Lashley and Rusev.
It's so weird.
And it's so weird.
It's broad strokes right now. They're doing broad strokes.
They replaced the Maria Kanellis angle
uh-huh.
with this.
Yeah, because, you know, they're having their stuff. All right, again, that's a good example. AEW, you had that another fire promo from Cody giving his watch and his shoes and his car and, like, the whole thing.
But it's too soon.
Do you think so?
I think they're doing too much of this.
I don't think so. I think they're putting you right in the middle of it. No exposition. I'm perfectly fine with
that. I was initially fine with the quarterly pay-per-views for them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to have to go back and say they need something every 6 weeks.
You think so?
Yeah.
Mm. I'm okay with that.
Because they're going to how long are they going to drag out? Right now, here's the thing. It has till that February show, right? Because they have a show in February.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong there?
I think you're right.
I think I'm right. Or March or whatever it is. That's going to be Cody MJF.
Okay.
You got 3 months, 4 months mm-hmm. to get to there. Okay. Yeah, that's going to be really difficult to do. Really hard.
I don't know. I think this is good. I think they have good long-term planning, much like I think if anything, and this is just my conjecture, if anything coming out of working for New Japan, they probably have that longevity of, like, this is the stuff that we should stick to for the next year. As opposed to WWE, where
they pivot and shift every year. I would like to see. I was told something interesting by someone at WWE, mm-hmm. someone that writes there, and he said, we're not concerned for AEW because mm-hmm. they only have 9 weeks of TV written.
Mm-hmm.
They have no plans after 9 weeks.
I think that's horse.
And they were their constantly thing was, just give them time. You're going to start seeing the holes. And I'm kind of seeing that.
Yeah, I disagree. I think people hating on AEW at this point is completely asinine.
I don't think it's the hating. I don't think it's the hating. But I have to tell you, they have been experiencing some problems the last 2 weeks.
Apart from the
technical issues, which has been weird that they're having that. They need to stay. They are in the position of having to space out
mm-hmm.
key stories right now because of the lack of pay-per-view.
All right. They have a good roster, though. That's the thing. Like, I think there's it's only 11 weeks, right? Or 9 weeks. How long has it been? 9 weeks?
I think 9 weeks. 10 weeks?
It's interesting how people have, like, also completely dismissed them at this point. Where, on, like, a lot of the online chatter, you see people who are just like, I'm done. I'm done with them. Like, yeah, they just got started. That's like walking out of Star Wars in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this kid in the desert.
What am I watching? I wanted aliens.
What am I watching right now?
I wanted wars and stars.
What is this? You know, like it's dope. People have no attention span.
You know what it is for me when I watch it?
Good hair day today, by the way.
Oh, thank you. That's why I don't want to have the.
I figured that because you were like, ah.
I need it off my head. I think for AEW, it's still a way better show than Raw. and SmackDown. I'll tell you that. No matter how bad it's been, like, their worst week has been better than what I'm seeing on WWE TV.
Absolutely.
SmackDown is going to be a big story because who knows what the hell's happening with that. It's become a dud show again.
It has, right? Like, I remember, like, we dedicated so much time during our show to talk about this upcoming amazing ratings, bombastic, boom, boom era of SmackDown on Fox TV, and it just kind of fizzled out, right? Like, now it just seems like they don't, I'm not going to say it's garbage, but it's status quo.
Yeah, it's status quo, and they're just going through the motions.
The best part about the Fox thing is CM Punk, by the way.
Oh, the Fox show?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't on this week.
No, I'm saying, like, the whole Fox WWE thing, the best part about that whole deal.
Oh, to get him back to some extent?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I mean, he's going to wrestle. It's just a matter of who he's going to wrestle.
I think they need to shift, definitely shift storyline feuds, because this stuff has gone on long enough. You know, like, the Roman Baron Corbin stuff, I feel like, has been going on for, like, 3 years. And I know I'm wrong about that, but I just feel like it's going on way too long. What happened to Braun Strowman? Where the hell is this guy? Yeah.
MVP, the 2000s.
Great.
He was the top guy in the 2000s, this guy.
Do you want to do some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Guys, submit your questions. Send it our way.
Tim Anger, whose kids will be the future? Shane or Steph?
That's a great question. Shane has the boys and Steph has the girls, so who knows?
I'm going to go Steph.
You think we're going to get another McMahon wrestler?
Yes.
Here we are.
Absolutely.
Shane's kids.
Yeah.
They're going to be jumping
or
off
Steph's
of
kids.
Maybe Steph's kids.
I don't know.
They'll be Hounsley's.
What an interesting shadow to live in if you're a kid, you know? Like, my dad's Triple H. My uncle is Shane.
Yeah. My grandfather's Vince McMahon.
Right. My mom is Stephanie McMahon. Like, I got to, like, do something here. Yeah. I got to do something here.
I got to do something in life. I can't just be a normal guy.
Yeah, I got to do something here. Oh, that's tough. But, you know, all right. Do you think Aleister Black has lost all his momentum from NXT?
A lot of it.
I think, but that was maybe due to injury.
No, he wasn't hurt.
I think he was hurt. And then that's when they did
those stupid closet vignettes.
Yeah, because he was healing up and they wanted to keep him on TV.
Sometimes these guys don't transition right. I mean, that's the reality of it. It doesn't happen.
Where do you see NXT in 5 years on TV?
I see it becoming more of a mainstream product. Yeah. Or maybe just going back to the network.
Okay.
Maybe they want to take it back to the network.
That's interesting. I think they need to keep, as far as I'm concerned, this is kind of interesting what they did here. As far as I'm concerned, I think NXT, like in that Ciampa promo from a couple of weeks ago, NXT is the A show. It's the main roster because that's what wrestling fans want to watch.
Fans, yeah.
Right? Look how they booed Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, but
he's an NXT guy.
Exactly. I hope it continues the same trajectory without a lot of creative interference. You know, like that's the thing. That's the bad thing that WWE does is when they're like, oh, somebody likes this.
Yeah.
Let's mush it up and put our fingers in it and they'll like it even more. But it doesn't happen. Roman Reigns, John Cena, great examples of that. You know, like, oh, you guys like this person? Well, let's shove him down your throat.
Yeah. That doesn't happen on NXT. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Any more questions, guys? Come on.
Yeah. Send us your questions. What do you think about Damian Priest?
I like him. I like him a lot.
You think he's going to go anywhere or no?
I think he's going to be a staple of NXT TV for a while. I think he has a big upside. He's a big guy. I'd like to see his mic work, you know?
Yeah.
Good look, good in the ring. But I want to see him talk. I want to see him talk, and I wish he didn't look like a guy who hangs out with, like, modern-day Lestat, you know?
All right, let's see. Any other questions, guys, before we wrap it up?
Guys.
What shows do you expect Evolve to be on WWE Network going forward?
I think that would be cool. I can definitely see a deal worked with Evolve and with Ring of Honor.
Well, Ring of Honor's...
They're teetering.
I think they need to buy Ring of Honor's archives.
Absolutely.
That's what they need. Yeah. What do you see Impact in the 2020s?
I think Impact is on a slow and steady upswing. I have not watched. I've watched a little bit here and there, but from what I hear, it's
Tessa Blanchard's going to be their champion.
Good stuff, man. Should there be managers with stables again? Yes.
Well, NXT has the stables. Mm-hmm. AEW has a bunch of stables.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Look at this. Look at this match. It's Ken Shamrock versus Sami Callihan on Impact.
I'm cool with that.
Tessa's picks. So Tessa Blanchard, Sammy's pick was Madman Fulton versus Tessa. Tessa Blanchard's winning their title.
I think so.
Rhino versus RVD with Tommy Dreamer, special guest referee.
It's like the...
what is happening?
We got to bring out the ECWs every so often. It's great. I like that. I don't mind that. I was we grew up in that era. And I'm cool with seeing Dreamer and Rhino and like RVD. You know, it sucks that you can't throw like Sabu in there.
I would not throw Sabu, but RVD's looking really weird.
Shin Solidus asks, where do you see Bianca Belair in 3 years? Big star or just another role player?
That's a great question.
Big star in NXT.
Big star in NXT?
Yeah.
I think main roster. She's a main roster act.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. Who's going into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2020?
Maybe British Bulldog.
Okay.
15 years ago yesterday was that spot with Elix Skipper.
No.
Off the top. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes. 2020 Hall of Fame. Undertaker?
I think they're holding off.
Maybe Kane?
Maybe Kane.
Mm-hmm.
They're holding off on him.
Tag teams?
What tag team could go in the Hall of Fame?
The Outsiders.
The Outsiders?
Yeah.
Give them another ring? They just got one, no?
Like 2 years ago.
I don't know.
I think they have to do that stuff, like the nostalgia stuff. Because it was last year they did the DX thing, right?
DX was last year. They did the NWO one.
Yeah.
The year prior.
Because you need the thing that everybody likes to pop the Hall of Fame, right?
Who will be the headliner? Who's left?
Yeah.
Who's like The Rock?
Can't do Jericho?
No, The Rock's not in the Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah.
I could have sworn that dude was in the Hall of Fame. All right, The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock. Natural disasters.
Well, WrestleMania's in Florida, right?
Tampa.
Yeah, so.
Talk about Hulk Hogan, brother.
So who's going to induct The Rock? Hogan?
Hogan.
Brother, brother, brother.
Brother, brother, brother.
We should have had one more run on top.
All right, let's wrap it up.
All right.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. We love you, and we'll see you all next time.
Goodbye.
Take care.